Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. Okay, welcome back to, I don't know why I said okay, the first word, that's going to throw me off. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Pew, 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 pew. Burr, 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 burr. Okay. Welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am...
Welcome back! Ian, we're back!
I've had like three tries and I've been way too enthusiastic on all of them. So
they also know it's Abound in Hope.
I think it's right there. So welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman and I am sitting here with...
My name is Darren Larson.
My name is Tom McGregor.
And we also have a special guest with us.
Cut Tom McGregor off.
I'm sorry.
Man, you are amped.
I'm trying to get through this. I have crushed some Mountain Dew and... It's actually coffee, but special guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
I will do that. My name's Tim Veers. I'm a member here at Imprint. We have members, I guess.
Yeah, if you
guy just family asked me members. In the bathroom, yeah. He said, Are you a pastor here at the church? You must be. I said, no, I'm a member.
Member.
So, yeah.
Do you say that because you have like good hair? Was that it? Or?
I don't know. Yeah. It was because I was wearing athletic shorts. I don't know.
Well, they, that's
like,
funny.
Do I look like a pastor?
Tom McGregor never wears shorts. I do, but yeah.
Sorry, do we need to start this over?
No, I think we're doing great so far. There's nothing wrong with what's happening in this.
Oh, we'll fix it in the mix.
We'll fix it in post. Should we start this over?
No, it's all right.
We'll keep going.
Tell us who you are.
Yeah, Tim, tell us about you, man. So, like, how long have you been around Imprint? How'd you find Imprint? And what are you passionate about?
I think we just figured out that I've been around Imprint about 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is, it feels like I should, I don't know, have like a name on the wall or something.
Yeah, maybe. Can we work that out? Maybe, totally.
We'll let you into the VIP area.
We learned about Imprint because Pastor Darren was T-ball coach Darren.
Coach Darren.
Coach Darren, and he coached my oldest daughter and son. They were on the T-ball team together with his son Zach, and that was a special time. And we were kind of looking for a different church. We're going to a really big church down in the U district and had for a long time, and just were looking for something different. And talk about kind of a cool providential encounter.
Dude, totally.
We're like, that guy's a he's an okay T-ball coach. I guess we'll see how he
we'll see how he does
preach
as a pastor.
As well. No, it was just it's been awesome, and we just feel super super blessed at home in Imprint, and have really enjoyed being here. Mm. I've got my wife Sarah and I. We've been married for 20 years this year.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah. Nice round number, so I can remember. Just celebrated that, and then we have three kids: 15, 13, and 8.
Killing it.
I think I got that right.
And yeah, so. We should say it's Tim's birthday today.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's
happy
right.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 25 years old.
You got married great. When you were
5.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different story.
It's an arranged marriage thing.
Well, I'm so grateful for your family. And all joking aside, I'm super grateful for you guys. You've been a great friend and a great ministry partner, dude. You're an awesome dude. So I'm grateful you're here. And your family's epic as well.
I try to keep up with my family. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're thankful to have Tim around. Tim is often seen fixing grammar on slides for worship songs and other things like that. So if you see Tim, tell him hello.
No semicolons.
Yeah, no semicolons, yeah. That kind of thing. Tim is angry that we've moved to title case for our worship songs, and we'll fix that at some point. That's a different podcast.
Let's do a whole episode on that, actually.
On title case.
I remember asking you guys to do that at some point.
Oh, yeah. Well, so Tim,
I'd ask you to do something
horrific.
Well,
here's what actually happened.
It was painful. I was like, can we do the title case? And you looked at me as if I was an alien.
We might move this to the end of the podcast, but Darren asked about this, and I told Tim about it, and Tim said, oh, so the pastor wants me to murder the English language. Okay. So instead of fixing the song slides, he was creating copies of them. I said, why are you making another one? He said, for when Darren figures out how wrong he is.
That's amazing.
We can just go right back.
Nice. So,
I think it was one of those like Romans 14 things, though. Like,
oh, yeah. It's a conscience thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a conscience thing. Yeah.
We're deferring
but
to
there
your
is a stronger and a weaker one.
Yeah. We're deferring to Darren's weak
sure
conscience.
There is.
Clearly.
And in this case, I see myself as the Apostle Paul, the stronger brother. I'm just going to note that.
Okay. This is the best podcast we've ever made.
So what are we doing, Rex? What are
we doing? We have been talking through the fruit of the Spirit for the past several weeks. If you don't know what the fruit of the Spirit are, they are out of Galatians 5, and they are listed by the Apostle Paul as what comes as a result of keeping in step with the Spirit, and that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have been talking about the interplay of where, you know, our sanctification, where the Holy Spirit joins us and empowers us, but also where we partner with the Holy Spirit in accomplishing these things. And so this week we are going to talk about kindness. Let's talk about kindness. What comes to mind when we're thinking of kindness, of being kind to somebody? That's kind of a vanilla word compared to some of the other ones that we have. Because I think when we think kind, it's just like, oh, that person's nice. Mm-hmm. He's kind. What comes to mind culturally or scripturally in general?
I think special guests should go first.
I think so too.
Okay, so I had a real problem with this, not only because I'm not an expert in biblical languages, though I tried and realized that there was a lot I didn't know. So I tried to unpack this a little more logically. I work in analytics, marketing analytics, so the very best kind. that's a whole different podcast as well. But we, you know, there's a lot on just sort of basic Boolean logic. So I wanted everything to be mutually exclusive. So I went looking through this fruit of the Spirit list, and I was like, all right, kindness. Looked it up in Strong's, and the definition of kindness of that Greek word in Strong's, I won't try and pronounce the word. I'll leave that to Pastor Darren. But it had gentleness and goodness were actually in the definition of kindness, to which I felt very frustrated of the Apostle Paul that
That's
he
so funny.
Gave me a non-mutually exclusive list. Anyway, so dug into a little bit more and there was an interesting quote from C.S. Lewis that I found in the Problem of Pain, and he talks about kind of kindness being part of love, which again, from a logical standpoint, is a little frustrating to me. But I think it was pretty insightful. He said, and I'd love to get your guys' sort of take on this, because how it relates back to the fruit of the Spirit. Right. He said, there is kindness in love, but love and kindness are not coterminous, which, by the way, is the $10 word of the day, coterminous.
It means they don't have the same boundaries.
And thank you. Mm-hmm. And when kindness, in the sense given above, is separated from the other elements of love, it involves a certain fundamental indifference to its object, and even something like contempt of it. Kindness consents very readily to the removal of its object. We've all met people whose kindness to animals is constantly leading them to kill animals lest they should suffer. Kindness, merely as such, cares not whether its object becomes good or bad, provided only that it escapes suffering. And it skips through and says, if God is love, he is, by definition, something more than mere kindness. Which I thought might have been interesting.
Wow.
He doesn't acknowledge kindness as one of the fruits of the Spirit here, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So the way I thought about that was that kindness is maybe a facet of love, and with a particular emphasis towards grace.
So like it flows from love? It's downhill or downstream from love in a sense?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's an element, I guess, of love, which you guys have already talked about, but where it's really wanting the best for that other person that could potentially lead you to do something that doesn't feel very kind or on the surface isn't very nice. But that might be a different facet of love, and the love's kind of deeper than kindness, which is maybe necessary but not sufficient in terms of how we interact with people.
So kindness alone is not enough to love someone.
Right.
That's what you're getting at.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because of what you just said, it reminded me of how much kindness is kind of a cultural virtue, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember Blockbuster Video, and when you'd buy get a VHS,
it would
say, be kind, rewind, right? Yeah. Did that require love? Like, from what you're saying is what I'm thinking about. Like, did that require some sort of, like, I'm thinking sacrificially about someone else by pushing the stupid...
Just be a good person.
Be a good
and
person.
Rewind. Yeah. Kindness is be a good person.
But doesn't it
tolerance.
So then doesn't it have to be a different idea if it's in the biblical mindset of what Lewis is saying? Something, and like that's that quote would take me a while to actually process. And
yeah, to
through,
chew on.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like he is reacting against a cultural definition and equivalence of kindness to love, but not interacting with the biblical data.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, kindness is an outcome of love, and then seems like it's got some synonymous overlap with goodness and gentleness and with love. And you get into, well, that's when you realize that the whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit being one thing is not just a grammatical decision, but
it's a real thing.
Theologically, it is actually a thing.
They're all connected. Yeah.
Well, if I can keep going with what you just said. So you mentioned the original languages. Something interesting about the word kind in Hebrew is really crazy. Like for Psalm 145, verse 17, it says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works." That word kind is the Hebrew word chassid, is what that is. And that is, the definition of chassid is godly, interestingly enough. But the way most, if you look at Hallet, which is the Hebrew Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament, it will say that chassid is someone who practices chesed. And chesed is a famous Hebrew word, which means loving kindness. So, I mean, and if you're connecting these things together, and I'm flowing downhill from what Lewis said in a sense here, you're going, wow, hang on a second here. Kindness does come from love, or it should come from love. And even the Hebrew mindset shows the Lord is kind in all his works. The Lord is godly in all his works. It's translated as kind here. And so there's something there that I think is cool to connect the two together. Even in Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Kindness there, chesed, once again, same thing. Love kindness, right? You know? Interesting. And there's even more. I could go off, but there's something about kindness that comes from a deep sense of self-sacrifice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw McGregor twitch like he wanted to say something.
I did too.
No, that's all right.
Well, I was going to say, is there a way for us to, because we've sort of been defining kindness, we've been talking around kindness in some ways, because we've been saying it's downstream from love. It has other elements of other fruits of the Spirit, the connection there, the whole organic growth of the fruit of the Spirit there. Is there any kind of a working definition of kindness we can come from out of Scripture, Darren? I know you've said it has to do with, there's like some moral excellence and that kind of thing. There's almost a sense of generosity, I guess. I don't know, of charity towards others. I mean, is there a concise way of defining kindness biblically?
Have any thoughts, Tim, or do you want me to take a stab at it? Go first.
No, I'll go first.
Go first.
So I'd been thinking about this, and my sort of working definition was that it was a response to an acknowledgement of the sort of fundamental humanity of that other person that you're encountering. So on a very basic level, you're acknowledging, you know, that person has these basic needs, and some of those basic needs are just to be, you know, accepted and treated in a way that doesn't trigger their, you know, basic responses of fight or flight, and sort of start from there, and that's maybe a place to start with kindness anyway, in its most basic form.
That's cool. Yeah, I kind of think I looked up in a dictionary kind of what kindness meant, and then I was kind of frustrated with that, you know, so I ended up not even writing it down because I was like, that doesn't give any clarity at all. Because when I think of kindness, I think of, again, that chesed word, that loving affection, that sympathy, that patience, the gentleness. There's like
fruit of the spirit words.
I'm just putting that, impacting the fruit of the Spirit into this whole thing. But those are the things and again, you said it well about you're showing it to another person. And it's this volitional thing. It's not emotional. Like, it's something that you volitionally do for a person because they're created in the image of God, because they're a human, and yet there's something about the Spirit that does make us that way. Like, but also to make us choose to do that. Like Rex said at the beginning, the very interplay of the fruit of the Spirit is both saying yes to the Spirit and then keeping in step with the Spirit as well.
When I think about kindness, I think in two terms. There's the propositional, like definition, where you're trying to get like a one sentence way of encapsulating this, and then there's that what's it actually look like. And speaking of the Micah 6:8, the weird twitch was that's not how that's translated. It's to love mercy. Mm-hmm. And that's the Septuagint translation is to love mercy.
Yeah.
Pity, mercy, compassion. And so there is that disposition that I think a Christian kindness, a fruit of the spirit kind of kindness has to have, not some sort of dispassionate, like, you know, Greek ideology behind it, but there is some sort of connection to another person that does mercy, that does take pity on somebody, or has some sort of disposition towards another image of God, that requires some sort of proactive building thing. And I think I'd take that proactive building thing from 1 Corinthians 13, where it's what's love?
Patient, kind,
and humble. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got all these things that's not, and it's like it's humble. It would be the positive way of saying that. But that kindness, well, patience doesn't do anything. It doesn't build. It just waits. It doesn't do damage. But the kindness is what builds. It's almost like it's part of the expression of love, I think.
I almost want to categorize for us what we think of when we think of kindness, because I think on one side you have the kindness of God, and then on the other side you have the kindness that we ought to display that's Christ-like, you know, which I think we'll get to that in just a second, because that Greek word that you just mentioned is, there's something really interesting about that Greek word, which we'll mention in a few minutes here. But but I think the way we know kindness, or the way we can define kindness, is know that we've been treated kindness with kindness by God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking. I think of Romans 2, you know, it talks about the kindness of God is we've been treated with kindness, and we were to be led to repentance. And then I think of showing kindness, my brain goes to Ephesians 4, I think. It's that be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting, because he's tying, every time I've looked for, in preparation for this, a concise definition of kindness, it's been alluded, or it's been a single word that's another biblical word.
As Tim was saying.
Yeah, like you said, that it requires so much unpacking. But it is interesting here, because he's saying be kind, and the way that you do that is forgiving others as God has forgiven you.
Yeah, and I saw really, I did look at a couple of the places where I think that Greek word that I can't pronounce was used, and both of them were sort of tied to the grace that God showed to us. And so Ephesians 2, 5 through 9 said, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then Titus 3:4-5 said, but when the goodness and loving kindness, I think that was what you were saying, Darren, right? Loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy.
Yeah, mercy is showing up
a lot. Yeah. Mercy, forgiveness, yeah.
1 Chronicles 19:2, David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And then what kindness looks like is David sends a delegation to express his sympathy to this guy that just lost his dad. And then he like invites him into relationship and provides for him. Like it's a very practical, but there's that emotive, there is that, that relational thing that you were getting at earlier, Tim.
I think sometimes we confuse practical with being kind of shallow, you know, or not nearly as deep. I don't know if maybe that's the Greek like everything needs to have this like deep, you know, conceptual thing, but it just occurred to me, I was thinking about this, and I said, well, you know, it seems like kind of such a surface and shallow thing potentially, but can you think of a time when you went for an extended period of time without anyone being kind to you? And just that, even just on a fundamental level, you can just, I know I've had those periods, you know, whether it's in a work context or whatever, just like, and again, I'm not looking for deep love or, you know, self-sacrifice or anything, but just somebody to say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, and when you go for, you know, a week or two or a month without that, just what it changes you as a person.
Yeah, the cultural phenomenon right now of Ted Lasso, which is going around, which is probably getting in trouble because it's not entirely appropriate.
There's some swears.
Disclaimer.
But they're with the British accents.
So they are, yeah, so it's okay. Yeah. The funny thing about Ted Lasso is he is incredibly kind.
Yes.
I think that, in fact, I think one of the taglines is kill him with kindness or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because you just see this show, which you think wouldn't be such a hit.
Yep.
Because you're like, this doesn't have any action. It's weird. It's got a little bit of funniness. But the thing that's so different and countercultural about Ted Lasso is that he is just filled with kindness. He forgives people in one of the episodes who wronged him really, really severely, almost kind of sabotaged what he wanted. And there's a really powerful point of the episodes where he just says, I forgive you. And he looks at this guy, his boss in the eye and says, I forgive you. You know, and Lasso displays kindness that you're talking about there, which is so amazing. So not saying you should watch it. That's a Romans 14 thing as well, probably. But
So with that, you mentioned, you know, that's kind of a cultural phenomenon. We've been trying to chase down and we've been pulling on a root of a definition for biblical kindness, and other biblical words keep coming up. And so we're getting kind of a triangulation there.
Yeah.
Our culture seems to also have a concept of kindness. What is different from a spirit-enabled kindness to what the culture would see as being kind?
Yeah.
That first thing you said, kindness is being nice.
Yeah.
I think that's the misconception. Mm-hmm. You know, be an agreeable, pleasantish person. Maybe you get coffee for the office every so often or something. That's always what I think of when I think of kindness, is just a nice person.
Yeah.
And I think that falls short of what we're talking about.
Yeah, because kindness has the multifaceted picture of all the things we've just been mentioning, things that, again, that as we struggle to come up with a definition of this, it's not a struggle so much as a big picture.
Like, yeah, exactly.
A nice person who is wronged will brush it off as no big deal. Maybe because there's really no relational connection to that person. So there's no strong emotions that happen when they forgive them. And so it's not really forgiveness. It's just kind of that ambivalence about what somebody else does.
Yeah.
Whereas like if biblical kindness includes the concept of mercy, then God's mercy leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. God's kindness leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
And how does he show kindness by dying for
us? Self-sacrifice.
You know, like it costs, and there is an emotive connection. And so there is passion connected, I think.
Mm-hmm. What's the motivation for kindness in a world or a culture disconnected from Christ?
Oh, to get ahead.
Self-serving? Yeah. I mean, doesn't it feel like the kindness thing is a way you want to be either known for? Like, I want people to think of me as being kind or whatever. Or it's, like you said, get ahead. Like,
is it a bullet point on a resume? that kind of thing.
I'm kind.
I'm nice. He seems nice.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Whereas our motivation for kindness should be something different.
Yeah, well, I think from what we've been able to again, try to triangulate or look at a big picture of kindness, there has to be more to it.
Yeah.
Because when we're called to kindness by Paul or in the Old Testament or whatever, there's always a pointing at God's character.
Yep.
Whether that's the work of Jesus on the cross or you know, the character of God as revealed to the Hebrew nation.
Okay, so maybe this is the moment we pull out Tim's first Greek word that he just mentioned. So the Greek word that I think you're mentioning is
Christotes.
Christotes, yeah.
Nice.
So this is the crazy thing. What does that sound a whole lot like?
Christos.
Or another one, Christian. Mm-hmm. So Christian is a Greek word, right? And so the interesting thing is you have this picture of a person who is kind is very much similar to the word kindness in Greek itself. You know, the Christian is very much in, you know, the two.
Do they share a root?
Well, they do.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And even Christian and kindness do. Is that what you're asking? Yeah. Christian and kindness do.
Oh, interesting.
So this so much so that I looked up this week, Tertullian, who was one of the early church fathers, wrote that in the early church, people confused the two words of kindness and Christian, such that instead of calling people Christ people, they called Christians kindness people in the early church. This is a true story.
Wow.
It could have just been a mispronunciation, or it could have been from confusion of what they were truly called, because Christianity became so synonymous with people in whom kindness was present in their hearts and evident in their lives. Mm-hmm. This is Tertullian writing. So he's like, they're not little Christians, it says in Acts.
Yeah.
They're little kindness people, you know. Mm.
But you wouldn't make that mistake for long if people were jerks. You know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's got to be, because they, you know, there's the etymology stuff, but then also the activity is backing up the confusion.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome. That's great.
When there's some motivation in that. Again, you guys have mentioned Romans 2:4 a couple times now, that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And don't presume, doesn't he say right at the beginning, don't presume on the kindness of the Lord or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. I don't want to, because he's so kind. So don't presume upon that kindness. But if we've been shown that much kindness, that self-sacrificial kindness, that work of Christ, then that should be our response as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so much deeper, that self-sacrificial attitude towards another person, that willingness to take one for the team sometimes, that willingness to not say the thing that you want to say, that willingness to, whatever it might be. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you could think when it says, like, how can I be kind, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Tim, do you have any thoughts, man, about, you know, just, again, there's Darren just talked about, like, the deeper motivation we have towards kindness, and even the kind of the cool providence of that Greek word. Man, what do you see about kindness in culture versus the kindness that we're called to? What do you see about kindness and culture? I think it's in slogans and stuff.
There are a lot of slogans. Yeah. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I just became like more, I think, aware of the how often it's being used. When we talked about doing this a few weeks ago, and then I just started seeing stuff left and right. Everything from like, they're kind bars.
Oh
like
my God.
Someone
there's one over there.
Yeah. Looks delicious. Somebody coming from marketing like I do, like they spent a long time coming up with that name. So they decided that was a super important concept.
Interesting.
For a certain segment of the population that wanted to.
Is the idea the bar is kind to you or something like that, I imagine?
I'm sure someone put like a 25 slide deck together about all the different ways that I don't know if they worked in the Christotes, but
yeah, probably. Yeah.
So I wouldn't put it past them. It was interesting. I mean, I saw like there were bumper stickers. We just got done with a sort of an epic road trip across the Western United States and was just seeing stuff left and right. There was Keep Tahoe Kind, I think. Mm-hmm. I had to read the fine print. It was from the Humane Society.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Of Lassen County or something. And there was like outside Yellowstone, there was a sign that said like, be cool, be kind, be patient or something. So there was sort of this exhortation to not honk when you got stuck in an hour long bumper to bumper in Yellowstone.
To see a buffalo. Yeah.
It was great. Well, more like elk. People would really stop to see elk.
Wow. Like,
what
or were they just laying in the middle of the road? Like last time I went to Yellowstone, I think there were just animals laying in the middle of the road.
There they are.
Move.
Yeah. It was interesting, but I think it seems like it's kind of become sort of a placeholder for kind of a secular, secular fruits of the spirit. Like in my deep Google research here, I found a thing called the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation, which I think was spun off from. I'm not sure that McGregor's face translated into good sound there.
But I hate that phrase.
Yeah. Well, it apparently, according to Wikipedia, the phrase "practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty" was written by Anne Herbert and placed on a placemat in Sausalito, California, in 1982.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go. So it was.
It was newer than that.
As deep as a placemat. Well, they put out a book about 10 years later.
Okay.
And you know, and like a billion bumper stickers. Mm-hmm. But I think they then from there either someone stole the name or they launched this thing called the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation, which can give you all this like it was basically catechism on almost the religion of kindness. It was like there's all these things, and so going back to that list of these sort of virtues that you could you could be. They had a list of principles that were kindness principles, and the principles were respect, caring, inclusiveness, integrity, responsibility, and courage. So I don't know what any of those things have to do with kindness. Like, it just seemed weird to throw them all underneath kindness. But you could even sign up to be a... Actually, you had to apply to be a raktivist, which was random acts kindness, R-A-K.
Oh, my gosh.
Activist. So if you guys want to do that, you can. There's another interesting example that I thought was actually closer to maybe the biblical ideal there, but still seemed pretty self-promoting. There was this thing called the Kindness Diaries. It used to be on Netflix. I think it's now on Discovery Plus because that stuff moves around. But this guy quit his corporate job, and he traveled the world for a year. And of course, it took a camera crew with him. And asked strangers to let him sleep in their house. Or in the case of like this homeless guy was like to sleep next to him on the street. I only watched the trailer, so that's about as far as I got. But what I took from it was then when these people demonstrated kindness to him, he would often surprise them with some sort of life-changing gift.
Like
the homeless guy, we're gonna send you to like night classes to get your your GED or something.
What happened if they weren't kind?
I don't know. I didn't.
Those don't make.
I don't have Discovery Plus, but it just occurred to me. I went
a 7-day free trial. I think if you want to check it out.
I should check that out. I need another streaming service. but went through the reviews and just the passion that people had for this. Like this is the most amazing thing. They were super stoked about this idea. And
which is funny because it doesn't seem that altruistic that this guy is doing. No. It seems like he's bringing the camera crew and sorry, I cut you off.
He did get a book deal and some TED Talks and things out of it. But and maybe his intentions were really good, but it just anyway, there were like 100 examples of that. I also did some in-depth Spotify research on kind, and I'll save you.
Oh, I'm curious about this one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
The Nick Lowe song.
Yeah. Can you quote it?
Good. Yeah.
Are you
cruel to be kind in the right measure.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about all that's in there about kind. Just you got to be cruel to be kind. Which didn't
cruel
seem...
Cruel to be kind means that I love you.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
There was one by... just a remarkable artist called Marshmallow.
Yes.
This is familiar.
Yeah. With Halsey. It's called Be Kind. So I thought, well, this is going to really, give me some deep insight. And it said, I don't know why you hide from the one and close your eyes to the one and mess up and lie to the one you love when you know you can cry to the one. Always confide in the one. You can be kind to the one you love.
Whoa.
So you can be kind to the one you love instead of being terrible to them. And,
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, there you go.
High bar.
Harry Styles. Harry Styles fans. This song is pretty insipid, but by the time you get to the second or third play, it's kind of a jam. I'm not gonna lie. But I'm only 25, so said
that's right.
Maybe we can find a place to feel good and we can treat people with kindness.
Huh.
Maybe.
Maybe. But maybe. It's really catchy. It got a little closer, although I still hate this song. I mean, Natalie Merchant had a song about 20 years ago, hasn't gotten any better, called Kind and Generous. I didn't even know that's what it was called. It's the one,
That's right.
I just thought it was like the la-la-la song. And it just said, you've been so kind and generous, and I'm bound to thank you for it, et cetera, which seemed nice. The closest was Tim McGraw, I thought, for any like country ones. He's got one called Always Be Humble and Kind, which I don't think it was necessarily like a really redeemed Christian vision of kindness, but it was things like hold the door, say please and thank you, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie.
Oh, funny. Be nice.
Be nice. Yeah.
Kind is
be
nice.
Be moral.
Yeah. And then it got into something about when it's hot, eat a root beer popsicle, shut off the AC and roll the windows down.
I'm cool with that.
Which
that's awesome.
Seemed like good advice, but I wasn't sure what it had to do with being humble or kind.
Kind.
So.
That's something that, man, I should be doing tomorrow when it's 102 up at Baker Lake.
Yeah.
So if we put kindness culturally on a level that's too easy to reach,
it seems
I wonder,
like a pretty. Said, Tim, it seems pretty low bar. Because it's pretty easy to be kind if you have a Discovery Channel deal and you have a camera crew and you have Discovery Channel dollars to give people stuff generously.
Yeah.
But it seems like kind of a low bar when it's just being nice.
Yeah, it's like undervalued or something totally. Like that. It's
beautiful. Yeah, you don't need the spirit to muster up some basic public manners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's funny because Christians seem to get this, kind of a reputation, if you will, that they're supposed to be the nice people or supposed to be. Yeah. And I think they relate to that, to the kind thing, you know, it's mm-hmm. like nice equals kind in this way. And there's something, as we've been talking about, that's so much more deeper than niceties, than drinking a, or I guess having a root beer popsicle.
Root beer popsicle.
With a kind bar.
That doesn't even sound good.
Yeah, that is pretty weird. Because anyone can do random acts of kindness.
Well, and I think, so if you make a random act of kindness, if it's a random act of kindness, is it?
It's no longer
is
kind.
Is it kindness?
No.
That's a great question.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, you're sort of fracturing a reason behind kindness. I think, because it's not, it's one, it either can't be random or it can't be kindness.
Dude, okay, so imagine this. Some guy 2,000 years ago crawls up on a cross and dies.
Yeah.
And doesn't say anything about it. And it just so happens to win the atonement of the entire world. Yeah. But he wants to be random. Mm. And not connected to relationship in any meaningful way. Like, that would be absurd.
That makes zero sense at all.
Zero sense.
Yeah. So I read in our Bible reading plan today, because I'm in the imprint Bible reading plan, so you know, I'm just bragging about that thing. But it was the parable in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, that Jesus told the story of a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. You may have read this. Mm. Which was an unpayable debt. I mean, just massive, like overwhelming, right? And so servant could not pay the master back, so the master is going to take the family, sell them into slavery, and throw the dude in jail, and then make him pay back all that he had. And so the man, you may remember the story, begged that this master to show him mercy. And Matthew 18:27 says, "Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt." This compassion, to me, this kind of picture of that, is so a picture of kindness in my mind, where like graciousness, chesed, as we said a second ago, that picture of pity and mercy. And that to me is the same kindness and compassion that Christ showed us. I mean, what you're talking about, the debt that we could not repay is the same debt we see here, you know? Ironically, that story is such a tragedy, right? Because in the long run, the guy walks away and finds a dude who owes him like nothing, like a day's wages or less or whatever it might be, and says, you know, give me the money. And the guy's like, I can't owe you. I don't have any money. And so he's like, throw the dude in jail until he pays the debt. And so the master hears the story and brings him back in and says, dude, I canceled that debt of yours and you begged me to. Shouldn't you also have that type of mercy on the one that owed you something? Mm-hmm. That to me is kindness, right? That's not random. That whole thing is, there's a kindness there that's painful, that
it's deeply rooted in relationship.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. Yep. And you could be kind to someone who you don't have a relationship with, I suppose, but there is something about kindness there that's deeper than the pay it forward. Like
I'm gonna walk by and like put quarters in somebody's parking meter or something.
Pay it forward at Starbucks.
Yeah, pay it forward at Starbucks, that kind of thing.
I felt super guilty the other day. I went through Starbucks.
Did you end the pay it forward day?
I did, because I didn't know. I was like, am I supposed to pay the person behind me? I don't know how to do this, you know? And so I walked away thinking I'm a horrible person.
You guys, it's my birthday, so I got my coffee at Starbucks free today. Were they being kind to me?
That was kind of them.
Yeah. I think that was marketing.
Yeah, I was going to say, they want you to come back.
Yeah. The problem,
I'm shattered.
So here's my concern, I think, if I can throw a monkey wrench into our conversation that we've been having, which is great, by the way. I think that Christians these days are not as much known for their kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
So what do we do with that? And maybe I think what I've seen is a genuine sense, and I think a sense of wanting to be truthful, and for Christians to be like, isn't truth more popular or more needed than kindness or something like that? What I mean by that, it may be like, well, if you're not kind to the XYZ community, I didn't use the actual terms, but, or if you're not, if you don't show them the same type of care or something like that, then you're obviously a bigot and you're obviously, whatever it is. I mean, it runs into this whole thing of like, what is the interaction of holding on to truthful things, true things, and kindness? You know, how does that interplay? How do we be kind in a world that thinks that we're, you know, as Christians, bigots and don't care about those who are suffering or different or something like that?
Well, I think if taking our prior definition of kindness is, it's less like a small thing. It's more of an encompassing, almost ethic. I don't know if that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. It has to be rooted in some truth, like we've said. It can't be, it's not a, kindness can't function without some kind of a root or a basis. And so we've determined, I think Jonathan Edwards you can read it. It's really hard to read. I tried and it's not good, but it didn't go well. I should say it's good. It's called the Nature of True Virtue. Hmm. And he talks about, you know, there are different reasons for being virtuous. One of them is fear. Mm. You know, you can be coerced into being virtuous by threat or whatever, or you can be coerced into being virtuous with the thought of adding value to yourself. And that kind of encompasses what we were talking about before. It's like, I don't want to be seen as someone who's unkind.
Yeah.
I don't want to be seen as someone who doesn't do whatever. So it is going to be rooted. Kindness, that's why it can't be random acts of kindness. It's rooted in some sort of ethic. And so the problem with that is not so much why aren't Christians being kind, which I think there's definitely examples of that.
Sure.
But often, so for people who are being Orthodox Christians, I think it's less why aren't you being kind, and it's more why isn't your kindness rooted in my ethic?
Right.
Why isn't it rooted in the ethic of the age?
Yeah.
I'll say sometimes I think Christians can get sucked into not being kind.
That too.
Simply because we see, because it is... You can be nice very, very much on the cheap, and you can do it without it being rooted in the gospel. And so we see it in other people, and we see that it's like, well, that's very shallow, and they don't believe all the right Orthodox stuff.
Yeah.
And so one way to demonstrate that we're rooted in the truth is to not be very nice.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
I know. I saw on Twitter a T-shirt that someone was wearing yesterday that said, and this is what the T-shirt said: "White, straight, conservative Christian." And then underneath it said, "How else may I offend you?" And that doesn't feel kind to me. I mean, I get it, but
the problem. So there's the whole Ephesians 4 thing, like speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
And I think you need both of those things.
Yep.
Truth without love.
Yeah.
Fails to meet the standard of truth of God.
Yeah.
So you can say true things, and if you don't say them with love and care for the person you're saying them to, you have no longer communicated the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But love devoid of truth lacks boundaries and turns into Oprah's like bogus like sentimentality.
Yeah.
No offense if you like Oprah.
Wow.
But
you just offended half our listeners.
You know. and so that. I'm speaking truth now about Oprah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you. Yeah. I mean it for your good. No, but you know what I mean? Like without that that forming truth, then the love is empty sentimentality at best. And maybe actually even worse. Maybe it's just like self-seeking niceness.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I see and why Christians aren't kind is because the worldview and the ethic that we have promoted is a syncretic amalgam of real Christianity and the American dream or the culture's version of the good life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've lost influence and power, and we need to promote our thing and let everybody know what we stand for. And we, you know, like whatever it is.
Yep.
And you've failed to not only communicate the truth of scripture, because like, what does Jesus do with power? What does Jesus do with influence? You know, like, how does he interact with people that are opposed to him? But so you failed to communicate the truth, and you've failed to communicate it in a truthful way when you lack kindness.
Do appreciate what you said, Rex, a second ago about kindness really gets defined by your own personal ethic. There's a lot to that, and I think unless we have an ethic that's based on
Well, I think it has to be based on, you know, we at the very beginning of the podcast, Tim said just the basic dignity of someone else being human. Yeah, so I think, and for us, that means Imago Dei.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean just you're a human and you get to...
Brotherhood of man.
Yeah, brotherhood of man or freedom of self-expression, yeah, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's based on the fact that you were created in the image of God for a purpose, to image God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so kindness works out of that. That doesn't mean... that you are a jerk to someone because they don't line up with your ethic.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, God, it says that the Lord used kindness to bring us to repentance.
Yeah.
I think he continues to do that through people who are followers of him.
Yeah, definitely.
Some more scriptures for us to consider. Zechariah 7:9, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Mm-hmm. Interesting that those two are linked together, what you guys were just saying, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, once again, show kindness and mercy, hesed, same word, which is crazy. I mean, you got Colossians 3:12. Did we already read that? I don't think we did. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Mm-hmm. And then you have a picture of people in the church, deacons, pastors, you know, like 2 Timothy, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, you know, like.
Yeah. So say it again, because they're contrasting kindness with quarreling.
So check this out. 2 Timothy 2, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone.
Okay.
And then able to teach, patiently enduring evil.
So arguing on social media is the contrast to Christian kindness. Is that what I'm picking up from Paul?
I mean, it certainly seems quarrelsome. I mean, when I think of social media, I think a little bit of quarrelsome. That's, I
mean, I'm being facetious, but yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, totally. And then able to teach, patiently enduring evil. These things are connected. Even Titus chapter 2, Titus writing to Paul writing to women to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. You know, pictures here, images of the way we ought to live out a calling of kindness, which is different than the world's view.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys, what are some examples of you guys, if you think about kindness in your life, what's an example of when you felt like you have been shown real kindness? Any stories there, any kind of anything come to mind?
I don't have one. I have trouble coming up with one specific to me, but I think, you talked about Ted Lasso. This might not be, quite on that, on that level of profundity, but, in Les Miserables, both the book and the show, there's these great great moments of kindness that I think are really, really cool. And the one in so there's going to be some spoilers here. So if you don't want to know how this ends, everyone dies.
The book's a little old.
It's pretty old.
In case. So there's a scene where Jean Valjean has just gotten out of prison, and he runs away from his parole, and if he gets caught, he's going to go back to prison for the rest of his life, and it's this really desperate thing, and he gets this act of kindness from the bishop of some French town I can't pronounce, and sleeps there at night, and then decides, well, I'm gonna just make off with the silver and use that to get started.
That's right.
And he gets caught by the law, and they drag him back, and they say, I'm getting goosebumps. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They drag him back. I won't start singing it, I promise. But they drag him back and want the bishop to charge him. And the bishop says, No, I gave you the silver, remember? And by the way, you forgot the rest of it. Here you go. and gave it to him, and then has this great moment with him where it just says, you know, I've this is your chance to become an honest man. And it kind of foreshadows later in the book where Jean Valjean's been pursued by this guy who just won't let him go, and he has an opportunity to kill him multiple points and to kill the Javert who's been pursuing him, and he lets him go, and it's clearly inspired by that kindness of the bishop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah.
Where have you guys encountered the kindness of God, like in an actual like day to day life, like any stories within your life?
Yeah, I think the short answer is in God's people.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. God works through His people, and I think of like, there's a few key moments where I deserved judgment or rejection or at very least consequences for my actions. And instead of judgment, rejection, or consequences, punishment, I received mercy. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe like mercy is what I received, but kindness is how I received it. Maybe that's what I've been trying to figure out. But with kindness, I was invited back into relationship with forgiveness. And then it was like, I was really forgiven. It wasn't like that thing and these three different things, like they weren't held over my head as a reminder of what I owed to that person. But it was like, and I think that's obviously very Christ-like, very image of God stuff. But when God's people do that, it's really compelling.
Because you could be forgiven and you know, absolved, and someone could say, all right, that's fine. I forgive you. But maybe kind of just like the flavor of how you got that forgiveness, right? It's like you got that, but you got it with an extra heaping dose. This metaphor is falling apart.
Jean Valjean, he stuffs more silver in the sack. It's not just, oh no, I gave it to you. Keep go on your merry way. It's let me give you some more.
Exactly.
The you deserve judgment and consequences for that, what you did. That was terrible. No, I forgive you. And I still want to be friends. You're still a brother or a sister, and we worship together and serve together, and this is awesome.
Yeah, and I care about you enough to say now you know become honest, you know, become an honest man and see this as God's mercy in your life. You know?
Yeah, leading like, to repentance. Wow,
it's what that whole movement you were talking about is hoping to inspire. Random acts, you know, let's pass it on. The Starbucks thing.
Yeah,
without God.
Yeah, without the power to do it.
Right. Other than that.
Yeah, every story I think of kindness is a story where someone gave something pretty significant to me, which is crazy as I think about it. Like, I just go, man, where did this come from? Like, I remember I'd moved out of my house when I was 18 years old, lived in Australia for a couple of years, and I was poor as can be. I had no money. I couldn't work down there. It was a visa thing, you know, all the whole thing. So I came back here, and I was wearing the most raggedy clothes that I've been wearing for the last 2 years. Like, you know, it was the whole thing. And I remember my parents, who had kind of successfully launched me out of their house, you know, and really I didn't feel like they owed me anything at this point, but they took me out and bought me a whole new like wardrobe. And I remember thinking that was super kind, which is random because they're my parents and they probably enjoyed doing it. But I was like, that was amazingly kind of them. And then years later, like when I think of kindness, I actually think of my wife who is exceedingly kind. But years later, I remember Kelly and I were dating and I remember telling her at one point, just some past like history of things that I had done stupidly and things that I felt like I should confess to her, as you know, she's gonna be my wife at one point. I think we were engaged or something like that. And her just saying to me, I forgive you. I still love you, you know? And that was deeper than just the forgiveness. There was kindness in that as well. And I kind of felt that kindness as like, you know, a Christ-likeness, you know, that Greek word we looked at, chesed, everything was there with wrapped up in a package when a person said, I'm going to give you something that cost me something. And it cost me either financially for my parents or it cost me forgiveness. Like it's painful for you, for me to give to you. So those are kind of stories like I think of as you mentioned that kindness is always linked to that physical, like, this is going to cost. This is going to hurt.
I think that's good. I think there's a cost there. And I think generally it has a direction. It has a telos. It has a, this is not just goodness for goodness sake. This isn't just kindness for kindness sake. It's kindness for the sake of improving quality of life or the direction of life for the other person.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like someone recognizes, and it's not always this epic, but people recognize like, hey, I have a moment not just to do a nice thing, but I have a moment where I can, from the Christian, I think I could show kindness to someone in such a way that it could alter the trajectory of their life. And that's not to put too much pressure on anything, but like, it's true. Like you think about it, like it says the kindness of God is what leads people to repentance. Like a good obedient deed towards someone who's suffering or who's someone who needs forgiveness, you know, a Christ-like ethic there, has the chance not just to meet a need, but also to point them to something that is going to alter the direction of their life.
Cool.
So, yeah. I think we've remained a little bit heady. Maybe we should land the plane on what are practical ways we can cultivate kindness? And this is kind of hard. We've kind of struggled with this part mm-hmm. in every episode so far when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. How do
after all, we are trying to help people learn how to live out
how to
gratitude and generosity in their
exactly
so their everyday life.
How can we in you know it says in that passage in Galatians 5 to keep in step with the Spirit. What does it look like to keep in step with the Spirit in such a way that individually, corporately cultivates kindness?
I haven't studied this, so I don't know if this is true, but I'm almost positive it's true. I think Paul is stacking up all these images of from Genesis onward of people who walk with God, and he's thinking of keeping in step with the Spirit in that storyline to some extent. And so I think that there's this element of when you're like the first humans in the garden, and you're walking with God as an image of God, or you're like Methuselah, or who is the guy? Not Methuselah, Enoch. Oh, yeah. And you walk with God.
Walked with God.
Or you've got David, or all the, you know, you go through the whole thing. Abraham, these are guys that walk with God. And so there's that relationship that I think, to me, that's what keeping in step with the Spirit is about. Mm-hmm. And not just some kind of esoteric participate in sanctification, although I think that would be included in there. But I think there's the storyline of intimacy with God and life with God, and that produces the fruit, mm-hmm. not necessarily a set of practices. There's a more concise way I could say everything I just said, but
no, but it makes sense. I mean, I think you were, it's okay that it's not concise, because again, none of what we've talked about with kindness has been super precise, I think. Yeah. And I think, well, there's something beautiful in
or
that.
Concise.
Ooh, either. Yeah.
If you are walking with God, then to keep climbing down the ladder of abstraction, maybe I'll say this: consider doing something this week that costs you something for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kindness. Like, consider doing something sacrificial for someone, or responding in a way to someone else that costs you something. It costs you time. It costs you treasure. It costs you your talent. It costs you something that you have to give for the benefit of another person. Whether that means your time, you have a conversation with someone who you haven't had time for recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind, like to listen to a story or something. Maybe you drive over to someone's house and bring them a meal. It costs you both your time and your treasure, and that way you make a meal for someone. That's a kindness there. Maybe you know something, you're pretty good at something that someone else doesn't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You take the time out of your schedule to teach them how to do it. You know, I link this kindness thing with some sort of self-sacrificial thing.
Mm. Yep.
To walk with God in that way.
Totally.
Yeah. I think, if Suzanne was here, she'd say, why don't you pray, that God would show you how kind he's been to you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then show you who he wants you to be kind to this week.
Pray for an opportunity. Yeah.
So do what Suzanne would tell you to do.
Yeah.
That's pretty much always good advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll name check my father-in-law, who I've talked about a lot with Darren and some friends. Like, we will talk for hours and hours about these like great principles and, you know, deep esoteric things, or at least they feel deep and esoteric. And, you know, what's the right way to think about this thing, and what would God really say about this? And my father-in-law, my wife's dad, he was pastor for a long time and just a really neat guy, and one of his favorite sayings is moment by moment. Like, everything is just moment by moment. And what he means by that is, you know, moment by moment, you're walking in the Spirit, is what you were saying, McGregor. Like, and it seems kind of trite And I've heard him say it so many times, and sometimes it goes kind of trite. And then one day it just kind of like clicked in my head, like, oh, all it's these cool things I'm trying to figure out on this really
this big broad
big thing. Broad conceptual level. It's like, well, maybe the answer is just walk with Jesus moment by moment, and he'll make it clear.
Man,
yeah,
that's good advice,
Pastor Dave.
Yeah,
what a man,
Pastor Dave.
Yeah. So what I'm getting from Pastor Dave this past several minutes has been a bit of a waste. And no, I'm just kidding. thank you for sticking with us through this, though. We would love any feedback you guys might have. Drop us a line at podcast@imprintchurch.org if you have any other ideas or think we missed out on something. And I'll echo what was said a minute ago. Pray for the Lord to show you how you can sacrifice for someone this week, and also pray for opportunities to show kindness, remembering that it was the kindness of God that brought you to repentance. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we
it's a good way to spend your birthday.
Oh, totally. He's beaming. But yeah, guys, join us next week for the next fruit of the Spirit, and we will see you later.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.